may I encourage you once again to take God's word, all of it, very seriously. This is not a game, and you cannot do this again. You have one shot. In the words of, I think, the rapper, this is it. You have one shot. You need to take life very seriously, and you better take the word of God very seriously. I hope you do not think that this is a game, because it is not. The words that you hear me read from the lips of Jesus Christ, you will see them again. From Genesis to Revelation, you will see the Word of God again. And it is important that at least you get the gist of it. And the gist of it is, in this life, you must, to be saved and go on to the next life in heaven, you must be born again. You need to be saved. You need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who lived a holy and perfect life. He never sinned in word, thought, and deed, but we have. Sad to say, even after we get saved, we sin, and we have to ask God to forgive us. You say, well, I do that myself, and I'm not saved. Well, God is not hearing you. You're not his child. You're the child of the devil. I know that's not popular, but that's what Jesus taught in this parable. You're the child of the wicked one. And so, you need to be born again and believe. By believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who voluntarily suffered, bled, and died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Do you know him as Savior? Have you trusted him as your Savior? Because the end is going to be this way. Those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ will go to heaven and live forever in joy, in love, in peace, in service, in quietness. Those who die without Jesus Christ will spend eternity in the darkness and in the torment and in the flames of hell. So I just wanted to remind you of that before I get into the message, that you need to take God seriously. You need to take God's word seriously. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 36, chapter 13 rather, verse 36, as I continue to preach in your hearing. As you may know, I have so much to say to you, I have to cut my sermon short. So that I can focus on people who don't know Christ as Savior. As I continue to preach in your hearing, the terrorist in our midst, or the terrorist among us, part 13, Jesus and the purpose of the parables, part 22, just Jesus' evangelistic campaign, day 1725, 1725 days since January the 20th, 2017, day 2110 since January the 1st, 2016. Matthew chapter 13, verse 36. And guess what? I'm going to stay here until I'm finished. I'm not in a rush. I'm not trying to sell any tapes or any albums. I'm not trying to get a book deal out of it. So I'm not in a hurry. I want you to know who Jesus Christ is. And I want you to come to know him as Savior. He answered in verse 36 rather, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. That's right. Please stand for the reading of God's holy word. Our people here, they know if I don't ask them to stand, they know to automatically stand. And you can stand at home if you have respect for the word of God, if you want to, wherever you are. Stand out of respect for the word of God, especially if you're in bed listening to me. You need to get out of the bed anyway. And then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man, who is, by the way, the Son of God. And if he is the Son of God, he is God. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. Yes, Virginia, there is a devil in this world, and he's your enemy. He's not trying to just scare you. He is trying to destroy you. He wants your soul in hell with him. And if you can believe that Superman was a homosexual, then you had better believe this. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend in them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And if I were you, I would not let little devilish chuckies that are around in your life drag you to hell with them. I'm telling you to be against Christ and telling you to be against Christianity. I'm telling you to be against the Word of God and to try to stop the Word of God from going forth. Some of you are interested in going to a Chucky movie. I guess that's his name, Chucky. A little doll that appears in certain places to scare you. You have some Chuckies already in your life. And they're trying to drag you to hell with them. You know who they are. They're haters of God. They're haters of Jesus Christ. They're haters of the gospel. They're always trying to get you to come on over to the other side. But if I were you, I would not let them do that. Because where Chucky is going to end up and where you're going to end up is in hell. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Holy Father God in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And Holy Father God, I do praise you and I do thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your love. And I praise you and I thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word. And for all of the millions and manifold, and yes, many blessings you bestowed upon us. And Holy Father God, I thank you for the earlier prayer meeting and prayer service. And then, Lord, I praise you and thank you for the standing between the living and the dead service, Lord, this morning, that equips us and prepares us, Lord, for this service and for further service throughout the day. And Holy Father God, at the same time, we acknowledge our weakness. And so we pray, Lord, that you'd grant us all who are saved your strength, your energy, your unction and your anointing, your freedom and your liberty, and the power of your Holy Ghost. And Lord, we know, as we heard in the previous service and were reminded so powerfully, that when we get saved, you give us the gift of your Holy Spirit, who will never leave us. But we do need for service to be filled afresh and anew with your unction and your anointing and the power of your Holy Spirit to do special work in your service. For as Leonard Ravenhill, your servant, said, we cannot function without unction. And so, Lord God in heaven, demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit. Save those who are lost. Revive those who are saved. Glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, as I have said earlier today, Lord, help these people who are gathering on and who come every day to take your holy word seriously. Some of the things I may say of myself, they don't have to take seriously, but help them to take your holy word seriously, because they will see your holy word again. And that everything you said will come to pass. We don't know when and we don't know how, but it will come to pass. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor. Lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, it does not matter to me who you think you are. Your station in life, what you're going through, what you want to do, what you are doing. But I want to emphasize to you, whether you listen to me preach or some other God-called preacher preach, or you're reading the Bible for yourself, you had better take God's word seriously, every word of it. Doesn't matter how you feel, or what you think, or what you have been taught, take the word of God seriously. Dr. Albert Bond said, the good seed and the wicked people must remain together until the end, when they shall be separated, and the righteous saved, and the wicked lost. As I have told you, one of the things I love about Christianity is that it's very simple and very logical. And the head of the church, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, is the one who said these words. And he's very clear and it's very simple. There's nothing hard about it. It is very straightforward. That's a part of what I, one of the reasons why I love Christianity. I love Christ and our faith, because it's clear, it's understandable, it is in fact logical, but it takes faith to believe in the one and only Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, a man you can't see, but who is here. And who is still alive. And then he continued to say, the one shall shine clear as the sun, the other will be cast into a furnace of fire. You say, well, preacher, I can't believe that. Believe it. Jesus Christ never lied. He never made up anything. He never tried to crack jokes. He has never been a comedian. He's not playing. He does not play. And so, beloved, in our last message that I cut off somewhat yesterday in this series. We began looking at how we are waiting for the day of judgment. And Dr. Charles Spurgeon said, "The fate of these ungodly ones will be fire, pain, suffering forever." You say, "I can't believe that it's going to be forever. Surely we're going to be annihilated and disappear." No. Listen to the words of Jesus Christ. Forever. See, here's the thing, people. Sin is not bad to us. We think sin is something to be wonderful, something that's wonderful and that we enjoy and we just love it and so forth and so on. Because we're wicked. We have a sinful nature. St. Augustine wrote about how that he didn't need the fruit that he stole from his neighbor's yard. He just loved the evil of stealing it. Do you know why many of us do evil? Not because we need something. We just love doing evil. I told folks when Obama and the Supreme Court started sanctioning homosexual marriage, which was not even heard of in the days of Lot, that they're going to continue to want more and more and more and push and push and push. Because they do that because they know they're doing evil against God. The gayness, the happiness, so to speak, that they get out of that is because they know it goes against God, it goes against the church, it goes against the Bible, it goes against the norms, it goes against common sense. That's why they do it. And they love thumbing their nose up at you and putting their finger in your face and da 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 da. Yeah, we're going to do what we want to do, God. But one day God's going to do what he has to do, and that is to cast you into hell. Just remember that. King Solomon told the people way back, the wisest man who ever lived, You can do what you want. And I still marvel at how King Solomon said this. You can do what you want, but just understand, you will be brought into judgment in the end. On the heterosexual side, there are men who commit adultery because they can. Ask Bill Clinton. That's the reason he gave. Somebody asked him, "Why did you do it?" "Because I could, like a little child." Talking about the meaning of ears, what the meaning of ears is, and other such foolishness. They have a wife at home, but they go and do it anyway. Because it's evil. And they love the sneaking around. And women who are wives, they love the sneaking around and sneaking behind the palace hotel with a man that's not her husband. A woman that's not his wife. They do it because it is evil to do. And they like the evilness of it. The black and dark night, being sneaky and secretive. They love all of that, the evil of it. See, that's one of the reasons why you have to go to hell if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent, because you did this on purpose. And you did it not because you had to, you did it because you wanted to. So the fate of these ungodly ones will be fire forever. believe it. That's a part of my job, to emphasize that you need to believe what God is saying. The most terrible of punishments . But this will not annihilate them, for they shall be wailing, weeping, and gnashing of teeth in the pain. You know how when you're in a lot of pain, you clench your teeth together? That's what they're talking about. But the pain is going to be so bad in hell, you're going to be grinding them down. It's one thing to have pain and you clench your teeth together and you grind them down a little bit to try to bear that pain. But it's another thing when you have to do that every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Is the sin worth it? Is living a lie worth it? Is committing adultery worth it? Is committing adultery and fornication and being a homosexual and all of a sudden now Superman is a bisexual, homosexual? Is it worth it? One man, one stinking man being with another stinking man. One woman being with another woman in God's sight. Doing that which is unseemly. And watch this. Don't get worried about me. I got folks in the church who can't stand for me to preach this. I have family members who can't stand for me to preach this because they want to not make their friends mad or people who know them mad. But don't you worry about me. I've been doing this for years. The devil's been trying to kill me for 41 years. He has not been successful yet because of God's protection. I'm not scared of anybody or anything. And on top of that, I'm ready to die. Now, God has already given me peace in my soul and in my spirit that I have kept the faith. And finish my course. Now he has not given me much on the matter of dying yet. I don't know when that's going to be, but he hasn't given me any further idea about the time of my departure is at hand. Whenever that is, I'm ready to go. But I'm willing, like Paul, to stay here with you and try to get you saved. Yes, even you in the church. All of my sweet Baptists, Independent Baptists, National Baptists, Southern Baptists, my sweet Evangelical Bible, free churches, my sweet Methodists and Charismatic Pentecostal Holiness, many of you are lost and on your way to hell in the church. And you need to be saved. Sooner or later, this is what must come of evil men and evil women. Sooner or later, one day, you're going to die and fall off into hell. Have you seen the volcano that is exploding over in another part of the world like you have not seen in recent days? It's been going for what, 2 or 3 weeks now, and it's getting worse and worse. It's forming its own land out there in the ocean. If you want to see what hell looks like, that's what hell looks like. That's a lake of fire. a lake of fire. I would tell you something, but you couldn't handle it, regarding volcanoes. Though in this world they flourish, and some of you Christians have suffered with the psalmist who talked about being envious of the wicked. You're envious of the wicked. Now you're saved, but you're envious of the wicked, and they're dying, and they're going to die and go to hell. If Bezos does not repent and trust Christ as Savior, if Elon Musk does not repent and trust Christ as Savior, they're going to hell with their billions, and this can happen at any time. And by the way, you can do what you please, but I do not recommend you get on these people's little rocket ships to go to space for 11 minutes. You can see what they're going to see in a book. And will all of the sisters in Vice President Kamala Harris's sorority get together from Howard University? I'm asking you, please, to go to the White House to see if you can get an audience with the Vice President Kamala Harris. And take her to church with you first. You know, because black folk go to church whether they say the laws, you know, that's just the thing. Take her to church somewhere, and then take her to a soul food restaurant. And you all talk to her, your sister, and find out, wave a hand in front of her, see if she's there. And find out what's going on with the sister, because this little thing she did with the children yesterday, acting all excited and crazy about you children, you're going to actually see the craters on the moon. I said, what is now? When she needs it, she should be down on the border. And she's acting, I mean, this is not Kamala Harris. I don't know who this is. So y'all do that, girls, young ladies, grown ladies. Now, your sorority sisters, get a hold of her and find out what's going on, because she's not doing what she's supposed to be doing and doing crazy stuff like this and getting all excited about the craters of the moon. We all have seen the craters in the moon and on the moon. What are you talking about? You're supposed to be doing something for NASA. Just saying. That's free. Though in this world, these people flourish. In the same field with believers, and can hardly be discerned from them in many cases. They shall be removed from such honorable association and be cast into that great furnace of fire, whose smoke goeth up forever and ever. I wonder, are volcanoes connected to hell? I believe somehow there's a connection. Are volcanoes a reminder that hell exists? Molten lava, we call it, forming rivers and lakes of fire. This volcano that's taking place right now, non-stop, has burned down, destroyed buildings, is right next to a cement factory right now as I speak. They're trying to protect the cement factory, but if this hell on earth gets a hold of it, it's going down too. If you want to see a picture of hell, look at the volcano. You don't want to go to a place anywhere near that or like that. Then relieved of the cloud created by compulsory association with mere pretenders, phonies, and hypocrites, the righteous shall shine forth. The kingdom always was their father's, and now shall they be seen as his heirs and inheritors of his glory and joy. Are you a part of that number of the redeemed, of those who will shine forth? Even though it was hard on earth, people rejected you, people ostracized you, people persecuted you, but you endured until the end. Until then, they must be, to a great extent, concealed by the unworthy and keep them in a measure of darkness through mixture with the world. And that's precisely how it is. But when the intruders are removed, the excellence of the righteous will be seen as clearly seen, if you will, as the sun. And so you have a simple choice before you, dear friend. When you die, where would you go? Heaven or hell? You heard it straight from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no such thing as purgatory. There's no such thing as an in-between place. There's no vestibule. Nobody can pray you out of hell. Nobody can get you out of hell once you die. So what is it going to be? Are you going to be a tare or a wheat? Are you going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, and live for him for the rest of your life? Or are you going to continue to love your darkness more than you love light? Are you going to continue to love your fornication, having sex with somebody who you're not married to? Or are you going to continue to love your Ashley Madison and your swinging? Are you going to continue to love your adultery and your fornication more than you love God and serving God? Are you going to continue to love your homosexuality more than you love God and obeying God? You're stealing, you're lying, you're living a lie. Are you going to love that more than the light of the world, Jesus Christ? For Jesus Christ said, people love darkness rather than light. That is largely because of our sinful nature. Our sinful nature pushes us to love darkness rather than light, to go with the Chuckies of the world, to go with those who are evil in the family, in school, in the church, and elsewhere, on the job. Isn't it amazing how a saved person, or a person who claims to be saved and has done well most of their life, they get around the tares on the job and a few wheat on the job, and they have a tendency to go towards the tares, to run with them and be with them. That's because of our sinful nature, which drives us to want to do evil. It's easier for us to do evil than to do good. But it's better for us to do good than to do evil. It's better for you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sins and serve Him, even though it may be tough sometimes, than it is to follow the devil and his wicked children and go through the darkness with them and then go to hell. So, dear friend, if you are with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, in the free pardon of your sins, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, and save your soul from the power and pain and foolishness of sin, and ultimately from the eternal punishment of sin in that awful place called hell. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. You have broken God's Ten Commandments. We all have. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Everybody has. From the Pope on down, the Dalai Lama has sinned against God. The Pope has sinned against God. I have sinned against God. And even Joel Osteen has sinned against God. We have disobeyed God's word, His Ten Commandments. You say, "Well, not me. I'm a pretty good fella." Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever stolen anything? Have you ever dishonored or disobeyed your parents? Have you ever lusted after somebody or something? Have you ever dishonored God by taking His name in vain? That's just five of the Ten Commandments that I believe you have broken. And I don't even know you, if you're of age. We all have sinned against God, and we all deserve to go to hell. Understand that. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. There is a punishment for sin always. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." the wages of our sins, the paycheck that we will receive, in other words, at the end of our lives, is death because of our sins. What sins? I just mentioned a few to you. Lying, stealing, coveting, lusting, committing adultery, committing fornication, dishonoring your parents, dishonoring God by taking God's name in vain. The body will go to a grave somewhere because of our sins, and the soul will go to hell immediately. If you have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ in this life, your soul, the real you, will go to hell forever. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8, "Wherefore if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed." By the way, Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. He was not playing. He preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Yes, the meek and lowly one, the loving Savior, who walked on the water, who healed the sick, who raised the dead, Jesus, was a hellfire and brimstone preacher. In fact, I believe Jesus Christ preached more than most preachers living today. Get saved from hell. This is a very serious matter. He said, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. In other words, it's better for you to cut off your hand and to cut off your foot and cast it from you, if it's causing you to love sin so much that you continue to do it, instead of getting saved and being free of it, and get saved and go to heaven rather than to go to heaven maimed, rather than go to hell with both hands and both feet. That's how serious this matter is. I'm going to join with King Solomon and tell you, you can do what you want to do. I know that. You're free to do what you want to do. You are a free moral agent. But just understand that the judgments that Jesus Christ talked about and the punishments that Jesus Christ talked about for those who are evil and who reject Jesus Christ are true. These things are going to happen. And you will be in hell with the other evil people who rejected Jesus Christ and refused to live for him. Hell is a very real place. Hell is a sad place. Hell is a bad place. And hell is bad news. But I do have some good news for you if you're willing to accept it. And that is, Jesus Christ said the most wonderful, most powerful, most amazing, and most important words ever said in the history of the world to mankind. He said, as it is recorded in John 3:16 in the Holy Bible, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." He was speaking of himself, Jesus Christ. "That whosoever," the word whosoever means anybody at any time, "believeth in him The word believe means to have faith in, to have trust in, to depend upon. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That means they will not perish in that awful place called hell forever, that Jesus Christ talked about repeatedly, but have everlasting life in heaven with God, simply by believing on the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who has taken away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins. He paid your sin debt. And all you have to do is believe in him. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will. For Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe in him today, my dear friend. This is your opportunity. This is your chance. Take advantage of it. For just like the plague came that has hit America and the world, and millions have died, and it has gone unabated, it came suddenly, and it's still here. The end of the world is going to come suddenly. When Jesus Christ comes, it's going to be sudden. And you don't want to wait till then, because it'll be too late. Do it now. Get your eternal life insurance policy right now. It's already paid in full through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So believe in the Lord Jesus Christ right now and pray the sinner's prayer with me, and mean it from your heart. Don't say it if you're not going to mean it. Don't say it if you don't believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world, including your sins. That he lived a holy and perfect life without sinning in word, thought, or deed. He didn't die for himself, he died for us. He shed his holy and precious blood for us. He voluntarily suffered, bled, and died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Believe in your heart that he did that for you, and pray and ask him to save your soul. Call on his name. I'll be more than happy to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. Someone led me some over 41 years ago. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Take God seriously, because God is serious. Take his word seriously, because you will see it again. Pray with me right now and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge and I admit that I am a sinner. And I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have sinned against you. And I understand that I deserve to go to hell. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. Please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart, the best way that I know how, I believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, who was buried and rose on the third day by your power. Lord Jesus Christ, I do believe in you. Please come into my heart as I receive you into my heart and into my life. And please save my soul today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of all of my sins. Help me to turn from my evil lifestyle and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in Jesus Christ's name, your name, I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in the faith, in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you believed in him as your Savior today, please email us and let us know at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or whatever email you have on the platform that you're on, and let us know so that we can rejoice with you and send you the material to help you to get started in your newfound faith in Christ. We have some free material that we want to send you as well, and it won't cost you a thing, and it will be a blessing to you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, and even our new brothers and sisters in Christ, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer. Let's all stand for our closing prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you for your holy word. Help people everywhere to take it very seriously. Have your Holy Ghost to work mightily, as always, upon the hearts and minds and lives of people who don't know you as Savior. And Lord, we pray that you will open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears, and save their souls. Revive those, Lord, who are saved, and help us all to hold up the bloodstained banner and march forward until we see you face to face one day. In Jesus Christ's name, I do pray and for his sake. Amen. God bless you, dear friends. Until next time. I don't know why.